Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 505 here on The Fan. What's going on? It's Rop and Souk.
Sir.
Yeah, sir.
Sir, dude.
A lot of people texting us about the unemployment office lady.
Yeah.
Kay Erickson, who got turfed or technically asked to resign and did. You failed to mention that she was hired in 2016, 7 years after the $86 million grant for the upgrade was secured. She inherited the unemployment system problems. There's the big Kay lobby coming in.
Yeah. Well, but
true. But
at the same time,
there's no excuse for how bad it's been.
No.
Period.
I mean, you're
every
in
state is being overrun with unemployment
claims. I've heard this from plenty of people, and look, rightfully so. The government doesn't give an F. Like, when it comes time for you to have a bill, right, an IRS bill or whatever, the government gets theirs. And yet when it comes time to go the other direction, well, we've been overwhelmed by the system. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, I just don't know. She may, you know, if we had her on, she may say, well, you know, you'd consider this and that. This one's pretty cut and dry.
That'd be better. Again, can the government be like, hey, you owe us this money? And I can say, you know what? I'm overwhelmed right now at the time. Dealing with a lot of things. So you're going to have to just say.
Actually, I'm on vacation.
Yeah, you're going to take a back seat for a while I deal with some other things. But I'll tell you what.
Zoom you from Hawaii.
Yeah, well, my system updates. I'll tell you what. I'll get you that check you want.
And none of the, you like the $86 million, the grant, that none of that even really matters. It's how they're handling this. It's just not acceptable.
No.
But the grant, a lot of people pointing out that Kate Brown was Secretary of State and the one that was in charge of making that upgrade, and they never did.
So. Again, someone has to be held responsible for it. Is it solely her fault? Probably not. But again,
I blame you.
It's my fault.
I think this is all your fault.
I live in Vancouver again. What can I do about it? Not even allowed to vote over here.
All right. Where were we, Jerry? Where were we?
I don't know, Doug.
I feel like we were getting ready. Oh, I know. We've got a couple of college football items. Dabo Sweeney is up to his old tricks.
Yeah.
And being called out.
Well, he should be. Hey, like, no offense, but when it comes to the matter of race, the last guy that should be speaking is Dabo, because he has a long track record of saying that it's not a problem.
We have two bits of USC football news.
Yeah, you've got hot booster news.
I do. And then Tiger King, Carole Baskin, wins again.
Somewhere Joe Exotic, and by somewhere I mean in prison, is fuming right now.
So we'll have that story, but right now, it's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Number five.
Former Rookie of the Year, MVP, and NBA champion Wes Unseld has died at the age of 74 after battling lengthy health issues. Played his entire career with the Old Bullets, both in Baltimore and Washington. He was finals MVP for that title over the Sonics in 1978.
Yeah, and you hear from people, and obviously I'm too young to appreciate Wes Unseld, but if you listen to people, and he kind of gets the Willie McCovey, like just criminally underrated for his number. Maybe Frank Robinson falls into that category.
Well, there aren't a lot of guys, Rookie of the Year MVP and NBA champ and finals MVP.
No, dude, that guy was an absolute beast, and he never really gets mentioned.
By the way, he won the Rookie of the Year and regular season MVP in the same year, which was 1969. He and Wilt Chamberlain are the only players to win both of those awards in the same season.
It's pretty good company.
Wilt?
Number four.
Judge in Florida rules Zion Williamson must answer questions about his eligibility at Duke. He's being sued for $100 million by Gina Ford at Prime Sports Marketing for breach of their five-year contract back when he was in college.
Look, we all know at this point that Zion took money to go to Duke, right? I mean, that's...
Well, it's kind of understood.
It's the biggest...
That's what happens.
It's the biggest no-brainer out there. But, of course, Duke and Zion are trying to protect their reputation. And
she wants to pin it on him because... Well, he wants the judge to void their agreement based on the fact that Ford, representing him at the time, was not a registered agent in North Carolina.
Yeah.
She's suing him. Her attorneys are now going to be able to try to get Zion to admit that he was ineligible at Duke after taking massive illegal benefits. So, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I guess trying to get out of, obviously, the lawsuit, and you don't want this person to be the marketer, but... I just think it's interesting that the wash of this could be that the squeaky clean Duke paid to bring Zion Williamson to their university, which we all know anyways.
They'll settle.
Number three.
Okay. All right. Notre Dame and Navy were scheduled to play in Ireland on August 29th. That will now not happen. Instead, it looks like the game will be played in Annapolis at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. So this will be the first time in that series history that they will play at Navy.
Oh, I think anytime you play, I think West Point and Annapolis are two of the cooler venues. In fact, I get why they do it now, because they play the Army Navy game in Philadelphia.
Well, I don't think the Navy Stadium is very big. I got to look up the.
And I
well, so neither is West Point, but
exactly.
Beautiful.
But that's kind of my point. Is I get why they play it in Philadelphia because of the interest, but I just think there's something special. I have a lot of respect and reverence for Annapolis and for West Point. And I think that's cool. They're playing that game.
I've always said this: if you are a huge college football fan, I've never been to Annapolis, but you have to go to West Point and watch a game. It is such a cool experience. Yeah.
34,000, that thing seats.
Yeah, and so that's why they don't play the game there. But I don't know, that's always on my bucket list ever since reading John Feinstein's book about it. I've always wanted to go. It just bums me out that you don't get to watch it at one of the academies.
Also, our two college football players test positive for COVID-19. They are in isolation. Both of them are asymptomatic. They both play at Marshall. USC gets its second big-time quarterback in the class of 2021. They land a verbal from LA's Miller Moss. He is the sixth-rated pocket passer in the class. He has offers from nearly every big-time school. He chose the Trojans over UCLA, Alabama, and LSU. He said Graham Harrell had a ton to do with why he chose USC.
Doesn't it feel like Graham Harrell is almost single-handedly propping
he's
up
kicking
that
ass.
Program right now?
He's kicking ass, man.
Yeah.
They have another kid. So this guy, Miller Moss, joins Jake Garcia, who is also from L.A., and he's the number two pocket passer in the class. They got them both.
Yeah, USC came off just this horrid, horrid recruiting run, and now all of a sudden they're lighting on fire, although Oregon's doing real well, too. I saw, we talked about it just the other day, that their class has been bumped up to a top 10 class now.
Boom.
From 247 sports.
I think it's 247 sports.
That's what it is. 247 sports.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Sorry.
Come on, dude.
Sorry to the recruiting bros out there.
Number one.
And since players and owners can't agree on the financials of a shortened COVID season for Major League Baseball, there is a report today that Commissioner Rob Manfred could force a 50-game season, he believes that language in their March agreement gives him that power.
Oh, boy.
Either way, it does feel like the remaining 4 days of this week, or now 3 days of this week, feel monumental in the quest to come to terms on an agreement.
So basically, remember, the players agreed back in March to a prorated salary. They said 82 games, cut our salary by 50%, and we're not going to budge off of that. We've already taken a 50% pay cut. Major League Baseball has made several proposals. They've been non-starter for the players. And so now the owners are saying, sure, fine, we'll give you your prorated salary, but we're not going to play 82 games. We'll play 50 games, or we'll play 60 games, and that's less salary because then it's prorated over every game. And again, the players are saying that this is horse crap. In fact, the players want to play 100-plus games because, again, it would mean more money in their pocket. So, boy, I hope they figure this thing out. But this is the only sports league that has run into this kind of problem when it comes to restarting.
Elsewhere in the NBA, their proposed date for Game 7 in the NBA Finals would be October 12th. That would be the last game, should it get that far. I thought they were looking at more like Halloween, but they're saying October 12th.
Yeah, they'd be able to get them all in.
And in the NFL, they announced today that teams will be forced to stay at their own team facilities for summer training camps. Most of them like to go away.
Yeah, like in Denver, we went to Greeley, Northern Colorado, and then in Tampa, we'd go to the Disney World, where the NBA is going to play.
Yeah, they're not going to let that happen this year. You got to stay.
Keep everyone home.
The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. The best way to chill this summer is with Coors Light's new limited edition summer cans. Pick them up anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Let's get to this USC news. They booted. Did you know you can just get fired as a booster?
Yeah, I did know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They fired a booster today.
It happens from time to time when a booster crosses the line. And by crossing the line, it means that what they're doing became public.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that is what happened at USC. We'll get to that next. 5:15 on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Never a dull moment down at USC.
Doesn't feel that way, does it?
What, that it's ever dull?
No.
Now they've always got crap going down.
You look at, well, now there's a pro sports team there. Maybe it changes a little bit, but you know, think about back in the day when Petey was running that thing and you had that star power and there was no pro sports football team in LA. Just the amount of hangers-on and just big money guys and movie producers and celebrities and groupies and floozies and every other kind of whoosies that you could have. I honestly think that what do they call it? Compliance director? I think that's the toughest job in college sports, to be the one that tries to keep everything on board at USC. That is a really, really hard task.
Yeah.
I don't know how many places are more challenging in the country than LA when it comes to that level.
Yeah, because I feel like for them to be good, you have to embrace that.
Sure.
Because they're right in the heart of it, you know? You can't just shun all that stuff.
No, and this is kind of Miami's thing, right? Miami always said that in order to be the Hurricanes, you kind of got to embrace Miami culture. And that culture is something that in the NCAA is frowned upon. But when you've embraced it under many, many different regimes, the result has been the best football program in America. And you kind of got to just lean into it and accept the fact that, you know, we're going to do things a little rough around the edges. And it feels like LA has got some of that. But ever since the Pete Carroll thing, they've tried to have a foot in both worlds,
mm-hmm.
right? They're like, well, we want to bring back USC football to the glory days, but we're trying to clean it up. And that just hasn't worked out so well.
Well, enter Graham Harrell.
Yeah.
That dude, their OC from Texas Tech.
He saved that. He at least saved Clay Helton's job.
He certainly did. And he may also cost Clay Helton his job.
Yeah, because they'll just go and hire Graham Harrell.
They might, because we were just talking in the Hot 5. You know, Graham Harrell has already gotten two of the top six pocket passers in the country.
Yeah.
To commit to USC. Now, there's just verbals, but this is for the class of 2021. And all the kids are raving about him. Like, it's not just, oh, he happens to be the OC. It's Graham Harrell is the man.
Yeah.
And I want to play for him. And I don't even care if there's another quarterback that's really good there. I'm going to compete. And you wonder if USC won't get to the point where he's too good to let go. Like, you know, the Ryan Day thing at Ohio State.
Sure.
Or I guess a better example would be Chip Kelly. Like, Chip Kelly being at Oregon, Mike Bellotti was beloved at Oregon. But they, you know, they shoved him up to the AD spot to get to Chip Kelly and make sure Chip didn't leave. And I wonder if Bellotti
knew, right, that they were not going to be able to keep Chip as the OC. He knew that was the heir apparent. And so,
and he's way more beloved than Helton, for God's sake. So sure. It's like, you just wonder if Harrell doesn't shove Helton out.
Yeah. You know, if they have a big year and the offense is clicking, yeah, and Graham Harrell gets another job offer, whether it's a big OC or a head coach, what do you do if you're USC? Because you know good and damn well that Clay Helton isn't the answer there long-term at USC. And the only reason he's there, that one gets me every time, is because they can't afford to fire
him. That's really Clay Helton doing that.
Yes, it is.
Did you know that?
I did know that. And remember, is that after I crop dusted him?
When you lose your starting kicker.
That's Mike McIntyre.
Yeah. But remember, the only reason Clay Helton is still there is that USC had to pay out, I believe it was $230 million in the Dr. Sex abuse scandal. And so
that scandal.
Yeah. So USC's like, yeah, we're not paying anyone off at this point. We're done writing checks. It's the only reason he still has a job.
Well, now to other USC news. And they have, I don't know really what defines a booster. I guess technically if you give money or you're a season ticket holder, aren't you a booster?
Yes.
Because don't you have to give money to get season tickets? Don't you have to make donation to get season tickets at most schools?
Yes.
So you're a booster, and I guess every school has a list of boosters. But when you hear the term booster, you know.
Well, but the boosters have different levels, because the more you give, the more access you get.
Right, but what I'm saying, when you hear the word booster, or the term booster, and you're thinking college football, you're thinking big time,
sure,
needle mover type guy.
And booster has a negative connotation. First off, college programs don't exist the way we know them without boosters, right? Phil Knight's a booster, and is anyone going to argue that Phil Knight hasn't been pretty good for the Oregon program? He's the definition of a booster, and it's up for you to determine whether or not there's been any sort of shady dealings that go on there. But yeah, the idea that every booster is some sort of T. Boone Pickens, Phil Knight making decisions is hogwash. There's low level boosters, mid level, and then you get the program changers.
Point being, this woman, I don't know what level she was at, but USC is down a booster today.
Yeah.
Jason, a former Los Angeles Police Department union attorney, Marla Brown, graduated from USC. She is officially registered as a USC football booster until today. And in the wake of the murder of George Floyd and all the protesting that's happening around the country and the world, somebody got into her Twitter.
Oh, she had was she private on the tweets?
It doesn't look as though this was private. She's at SoCalMAB, LAPD union attorney, public sector laborer and employment attorney, USC alum, football booster, fan of USC. That's her.
She just has them out there.
Yeah. Yes, she does. She is replying to a tweet about someone else. And by the way, her profile pic is a picture of her with one of the players, which isn't weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
booster, she's kind of an old.
Boosters love that sort of thing, though.
I mean, middle-aged old.
Yeah, I mean, every booster has a photo with a player or a coach. I mean, that's kind of goes with being a booster. Boosters do this because they want access, right?
So
I mean, that's.
See, to me, it sounds like she's just got some money and she's just a fan. She graduated.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know how influential she is. But anyway, her name is Marla. So she replies to the following tweet. Heads up, LA protesters at Fairfax in La Cienega. The Venice La Brea Police Department just sent about 20 cars over, blocking traffic, traveling fast, stay safe. That was just some guy she follows tweeted that.
Sure.
Her response was three words.
Oh, boy.
Shoot the protesters.
Ah, yeah.
And for that, she has been removed.
She had a bunch of them.
From the USC football booster list.
I saw an article about that tweet, and they found about 6 to 8 of them of very all the similar same.
Well, let me,
ideas.
Let me
so just... here's Lee Zeldin. He's looks like a lawmaker of some sort.
Yeah.
He says, while the country is reopening coast to coast, the House Speaker just canceled session in D.C. for the next entire month. Somebody else says, because she's been told but to show up D.C. D.C. is about to get overrun by Antifa. Get out. And then here comes Marla, and she says, can't wait. At last, a reason to shoot them.
Mm, yeah. See, this is kind of my thing. When you see one of these, just scroll further back in the account, you'll see others. Very few people are like a rational human being, and then all of a sudden they're like, you know what? Time to shoot some people. Yeah.
I don't even know if I can read this one.
Probably pretty uncomfortable. Well,
yeah, she says, so let CVS leave the neighborhood, along with Whole Foods and every other quality business, and then watch these sand thugs complain about no businesses in the area.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
This is Marla.
By the way, that would be a racial slur for Middle Easterns.
OMG Scarborough, you've hit a new low in stupidity. Of course,
Joe Scarborough.
Joe Scarborough on MSNBC.
Yeah.
Let's go burn your house down with you in it.
Lovely. Just...
Yeah,
it amazes me.
She's an attorney.
It amazes me the amount of things that people put out.
She was an LAPD attorney.
Right. Yeah.
Which I think is even more relevant here. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. People are, if you go around social media, people are posting all kinds of wonderful things that they're finding on people's accounts. I'm amazed at what is public. In fact, my brother's wife sent this one to me today. This is a man that works at UPS in Washington. This was the cover page on his Facebook photo.
What?
Yeah. Just.
Would you care to describe that?
That would be him smiling in the back of his pickup truck with a dummy made up to be an African-American with a noose around his neck as he's hanging it.
That's his profile pic.
That's his profile pic on his Facebook page. God. Public, by the way, not private.
I mean, it just blows me away.
Although, to be fair, Facebook has now made it to where the photo may show violent or graphic material, and you have to click on it if you want to see it.
This is why these conversations are so hard, is like...
So now Facebook decides to take a stand, I see.
Yeah, that's Dustin Rayburn, by the way.
Yeah, call his ass.
If anyone wants to go ahead and look him up.
Where does he live, you said?
What is it? Carnation, Washington?
This is why it's so hard to have these conversations, because... Oh, works at UPS. What is UPS doing?
I'd like to believe that UPS hopefully is now calling Dustin and
God.
Gonna go ahead and have a little chat about your Facebook page.
This is why it's so hard. We were talking about this with Rashad yesterday. We had him in here to talk about some of the stuff, and it's just like, man, how do you have a conversation when you've got people like that? And you've got people like Marla.
You can't change that opinion.
It's just like, we had a guy earlier who texted in, and he sounds like he's a really loyal listener, and we love the fact that he's a loyal listener. He said, how do you go about changing this, I'm paraphrasing, when it's just one bad cop?
Yeah, that's it.
And that's what, and I'm just like in my head, I'm just like, oh, this person thinks that. How do you have a conversation with a person that thinks that? That's what it is. That's what we're dealing with here.
Yep.
You know, it's so incredibly complex, and just people come from so many different starting points on it, and some people are just flat out dumb and ignorant and stupid and minimize it. And it's just,
I feel like it's complex, but also
it's not.
Everyone should be treated the same.
But this is my point.
Yeah, but,
isn't that kind of what it all boils down to?
The idea, but it's all learned behavior. And so you're talking about, you know, whether it's your family or your community, which is why I went on a big rant earlier. It starts with people in the position of authority. It starts with businesses not putting up with it. It starts with police departments not putting up with it. It starts with other cops. And I said it before, I love cops. Some of my best friends are police officers, and they are good men that get into it for the right reasons, and they're not out to ruin anyone's lives. Again, some of the very best people I know. But it's up for the good cops to not stand for this crap anymore from the bad ones, or bosses not putting up with people in their company that treat people this way. When you know who you are, it shouldn't take 17 complaints to get you fired. And when you do get fired because you're a racist piece of crap, the other police force down the road shouldn't go ahead and hire you. It's up for people to start standing up instead of turning a blind eye, because we know who these people are. Again, I've played on sports teams, and you know that there's racist people. You know that it's an uncomfortable guy. And people, whether it's in your workplace and certainly in police departments, you know who these people are. And it's up for people of authority and just their coworkers to say enough is enough and stop this crap and start calling it out and tell. And so you can actually stop something before it gets to a point where we have a horrible incident. And then everyone looks around and says, well, how didn't someone see it coming? Well, they did see it coming. They didn't do anything about it.
That's so right about cops. I've talked to my cop buddies about, hey, you know, and I think they're good guys. And it's like, what do you, you all know who the bad ones are. Rat them out.
Yeah.
But they won't.
No.
That is a good old boy network, you know, like.
It has to change.
That definitely has to change. But what do you do when you've got a woman here? And as Mike said, she is not just an attorney, a well-educated woman. She is a former union, a police department union attorney. Who is saying things like, and here's another one. I hate to keep reading her tweets, but she said, you're preaching from your ivory tower. She's responding to somebody. Then Donald Trump's on here. There's a thread. But her tweet is, let's send them after you. Once the cop was arrested, it was over. But people like you promote destruction. It's no wonder the black community never improves its lot. No responsibility, no consequences. At this point, they deserve the result. Okay, I'd like to point out, she was a police department union attorney. Yeah. She's not just rogue. You're talking about a representative of a way of thinking that permeates way deeper than any of us want to admit.
Exactly. You will not change certain individuals' opinions. You will not. You will not stamp out racism. You won't. There will be pockets of it. There will be large pockets of it, and you can't change that. But what you can do is prevent those people from being in positions of authority. You can prevent those people from having the control and dominion over others.
And they're getting shamed. They're getting shamed on social media too.
And that's the that's what's going to change is if collectively we as America decide that our country can be better, should be better, will be better, and won't put up with it.
You know what other thing too?
I said it yesterday, just real quick. The idea of being an American and being a proud American isn't blindly saluting a flag or blindly saluting an elected leader. It's being an American is being proud of where you're from. And if you're not proud of where you're from, if you're not proud of the way things are going, you have the ability, or should I say, we have the ability collectively to make change. But it only happens when enough people say enough is enough and we start making changes, not at the bottom, not at the guy that's insignificant, racist, whatever, because you're not going to change that, but in positions of authority.
By the way, your boy Dustin changed his profile pic.
Oh.
Why do you think he did that?
Stunning development.
And this woman also pointed out that George Floyd was accused of forgery because that matters. The other thing, and I meant to bring this up with...
Yeah, forging, by the way, a $20 bill doesn't mean that you die.
I think that goes without saying, but maybe you do need to say that. I thought to bring this up with Rashad yesterday, but we didn't have time. Another hard part of this is like when you've got this woman openly tweeting these things, mm-hmm. It's easy. But, and I want to... Maybe we'll have Rashad back. And talk more about this at another time, because I'd be interested in his thoughts on this. The code to racism. It's not always, we think of the KKK and we think of like all this outward stuff that we can point fingers at and say, you're racist and you're horrible. There is a lot of subtle mm-hmm. code to racism in our country that a lot of people don't even know that they're involved with, you know, yeah. it's little words, it's rules and laws and
I thought the
things.
Story he told about sending in two identical resumes with his name and then a white sounding name was
sure.
pretty telling.
Yeah,
it's not really exactly what you're talking about with a code, but kind of is.
And these are stories that I've heard from black teammates my entire life. And
it's being aware of what those little words are and what is like things that somebody would call racist. There's a lot of people who would just go, how is that racist? Well, it takes some explaining. This is why I say it's kind of complex, is sometimes people don't see it because it is so subtle because they know it's wrong.
Sure.
So it's like this under the surface code that not everybody can see, which is even more dangerous.
And I'm telling you, when you're exposed to it, I have been in an interracial relationship for most of my life. Just so happens that most of the women that I've dated, including the one that I was married to for 17 years, are non-white. And being in that was, and then just, you know, dating outside of my race for most of my experiences has, you see things and you learn things from a different perspective that I don't think you see otherwise. And then having my kids obviously be half Korean, I'm amazed in the light of this COVID stuff, right? How many horrid racial things I heard about Asian people. And by the way, some from people that I care about, some people that I'm close to, some family members. And I just, you know, you shake your head and you try to be like, hey, you can't say that. And some of the responses you get, it's just like, well, you're being too sensitive. And you shake your head at it. But it is, you're right in that there are so many little subtle things where you're like, well, I'm not a racist, but, you know, I just said this or that, but that's on you because you're too sensitive and that shouldn't bother you.
Right.
We've got to change that mentality. Someone that I care deeply about made a comment about the coronavirus and that my kids don't have to worry about it because of where they're from. My kids are Korean. Last time I checked, that's not China. And when that was brought up, you know, the response I got was close enough. I can't tell you how disturbing it is to hear things like that, but you hear them all the time. My kids hear them. My wife heard them. People that I've dated hear those comments. And the sad part was that my current girl that I'm my special lady friend is Japanese. Family's Japanese, full Japanese. And I apologized to her once and she looked right at me and goes, it doesn't even bother me anymore because it's what I hear all day, every day. And she just has reached the point where she doesn't let it. It rolls off her back because she goes, that's all I get. And again, I know it's not an African-American and they have it worse than pretty much anyone in this country. But I think when you're dealing with races, it's amazing all the little subtle jabs and things that go on simply because you look different or you're from a different place.
One last text, 503-250-1080. It's unbelievable how willfully ignorant many people are. It's very hard to admit that you've been taught something that may be wrong. Most humans would rather seek for views that validate their ignorance rather than have self-examination and the courage to change.
Yes.
And that is such a good point. And that's what Rashad was saying yesterday is, you know, what did he say? Be comfortable being uncomfortable. If we're going to get through this stuff, we all got to kind of admit our shortcomings in this department.
And it's okay to
because nobody's perfect.
And it's okay to admit, hey man, I'm sorry. I've been screwing up. I've been saying this or I had this thought. No one's asking anyone to be perfect, but what everyone is asking, and by the way, I'm far from perfect, but there's like you said, there's strength to me and there's beauty in being imperfect and admitting that you're imperfect and saying that I want to be better. Again, I can be better. I will be better. I can learn. I can grow. I can educate myself.
All right. We got a break. Coming up next, Dabo Sweeney is at it again. You know, this guy dabs.
Yeah.
He's a football coach, but he's a bit of a, how do I say this? His worldview is a little basic.
Not one that I'm a big fan of, but again.
And somebody has called him out about it.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, guys. Gals.
All you cool cats and kittens.
Yeah, I got cool cats and kittens news coming up.
My favorite, I've seen some of these Joe Exotic like birthday cards, and a lot of them are like, happy birthday, that bitch Carol Baskins didn't send you a card. And then it's got Joe on the front of it. I'm kind of over Tiger King, but I kind of enjoyed that.
Boy, the fatigue surrounding Tiger King is real.
Yeah.
Like, you watch that series, and you're just exhausted, and then we talked about it for 2 weeks, and then it's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
go away.
Well, there was
all
nothing,
of you.
There was nothing else, right?
Right.
For
it's
a while.
Like, well, now we got news. We've got Tiger King news.
It had its moment.
The latest news. But that's going to be in the club in about 15 minutes. Real quick, Dabo Swinney held a press conference the other day to give his thoughts on what's happening across our nation.
Yeah.
And I feel like Dabo is the type of guy that really likes to hear Dabo talk, you know.
Well, Dabo's the guy,
I don't
too,
claim to be no 36 ACT now.
That had some wonderful comments on the Colin Kaepernick protests as well.
Yeah, he's the one. Did he say, what did he say?
I'll pull him up here. He tried to walk him back because he took a lot of heat.
He was the one that said, anybody who thinks that the world is falling apart because of what Colin Kaepernick's protesting needs to move to another country.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Said some of those people need to move to another country. And then, what was that?
He also said I will leave college football the second athletes start getting paid.
Yeah. And he said that Kaepernick was, he alluded to the fact that Kaepernick was selfish and that he wouldn't want Kaepernick on his team because it was about him.
So look, he's a simpleton. He's a football coach. And sometimes these guys, you know, that's all they do is coach football. And they're pretty, there's not much to them otherwise. Today, Dabo Swinney was called out. The other day he said, quote, my prayer is that God continues to use our program at Clemson to shape, equip, and educate great men.
Yeah.
End quote. Then one of his former players took to Twitter and said, Cap, you allowed a coach to call a player the N-word during practice with no repercussions, not even a team apology. When we had the sit-in in front of Sykes, you suggested us players try to stay out of it to limit distractions, stop protecting your brand, and take a stand.
Yeah, and there's, I guess, Dan Wolken is doing some digging into this.
That guy's name, by the way, is Canyon Tuttle, and he played for Clemson. He walked on to the team in 2016.
Yeah, he's doing some
digging. But he left and went to South Carolina State.
And he's trying to see if he can corroborate his story. And then Dabo said that we don't have a police brutality problem or a race problem. He said we have a sin problem. So that sit well with a lot of people either, because he did the, you know, what happened in Minneapolis or what happened in any of those cases is not a matter of black or white. It's a matter of sin, and that we all need to look at the sinful nature of it and not make it about race. And
well, isn't there something
that didn't sit well with a lot of people either?
And nor should it. But isn't there something too, like, not everybody, you know, it's like we need to be ready for our quote unquote leaders. Mm-hmm. When we are asking every corporation and every business and everybody in the public eye.
Yeah, not everyone's going to say something that we all agree with.
We need to be ready for some of them to be total dolts on the subject.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, not everybody can say the perfect thing. And so all that happens is you expose yourself, just like, I mean, we already knew this about Dabo, but just like that USC booster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But, you know, to someone's point, it's ironic because how many young African-Americans line up each year to play for Dabo? The players love him, and that's true. He is a player's coach, and they love him. So, I mean, again, that's being fair. I think Dabo is, I think he's a bit of a nut job, and I roll my eyes at him, and I think he's disingenuous, and I think he's a blowhard. He's a hell of a football coach, and his players love him. So I can have
all of them.
I can have but I mean, for the most part, he's viewed as a player's coach, and what he's built there is a hell of a program. So I can sit up here out in Portland and say that I'm not a big fan of him, and I think he totally misses the mark. But in Dabo's world, he uses the I'm a man of faith, and it's a God thing, and I love the USA, and, you know, he wraps himself around that. And for him, it works. And for those players that go to play there, you know, again, everyone's going there of their own free will, and, you know, we can all have differing opinions. I don't think Dabo's necessarily a horrible guy. I just think he's misguided, and I don't agree with just about anything he says. But that's the beauty of it, is you can disagree with someone without thinking that he is a horrible human being, or, you know, that something needs to happen to him. He runs a different program.
Or maybe he's a racist.
It's possible. I don't know. But again, a lot of players do. A lot of players do back him.
Also, doesn't mean he's not a racist.
No, it's true.
You know, he's the leader.
Yeah,
and they're under his thumb, right? That's kind of
But I mean, again,
it's kind of part of the whole story.
A lot of guys do choose to go and play, most of those players are African American.
He's a good salesman.
I heard. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Greg Jennings. I was listening to it. Colin had it on. or should I say have him on. And I think it was him. It was the day after all this, and someone
like
was
the
at,
former wide receiver, Greg.
Yeah,
Jennings?
Former wide receiver, Greg Jennings.
And put the team on his back, though.
Yeah, and he lives in Minneapolis now. And I'm fairly certain it was him that was saying that he was fairly disappointed in a lot of coaches. Again, Dabo, because they make their living off of the backs of African Americans, right? Of young, unpaid African Americans. And his point was that he wanted to see more of them come out and make a statement of supporting this cause that is so important to the people that largely are the reason why you're successful and why you have such a comfortable life and why you make $9 million. And there is this kind of debate going on about, do athletes have a responsibility to stand up? And you're going to get some people that are going to say, you know, hey, you're an athlete and you don't have to do anything. You don't have to use your position. You know, the Michael Jordan, both sides sell shoes. And then there's others that say that African-American athletes or entertainers are by far the most, they're the most high profile. They're for the large part, the most highly paid, most visible, most admired, most influential African-Americans in our country. And therefore there is a responsibility to use that platform. But again, that just goes to varying opinions about what you should and shouldn't do and who's right and who's wrong. I think that's just as hard a question as how we solve what's going on right now in our country.
By the way, somebody asked Dabo about his controversial words regarding Kaepernick, and this is just yesterday or maybe even today. He said that was probably a harsh statement.
Yeah.
So he's kind of walking back a little
walked
bit.
Walked it back.
And there was another player who did corroborate the other, you know, the player story.
Sure.
He said that he tweeted, I remember that S like it was yesterday. Mm. So.
Yeah, and that's one of those where maybe in Dabo's mind he looks at it and says, yeah, that was a bad thing, but we can't distract. You know, if we bring this up, it's a big deal. And nope, we're going to, you know, hey, it's football and we're a brotherhood and we're going, you know, protect the program at all costs.
I also wonder how often you hear that word in football.
What?
Particularly in football. Well, the N-word. The kid was talking about the coach calling another player the N-word.
Okay, so.
So I'm saying in the South with a lot of black players.
Sure.
White coaches, other white players. I just wonder how often that word is used, how often you hear it, and how often it's glossed over.
Yeah, so I don't, because I never, obviously I didn't play in the South. I heard, and
it's, but certainly when comes from the coaches.
I have never heard a coach use that word in regards to a player. But again, my experiences certainly aren't. I didn't play deep in the South. I didn't play high school down in the South.
I feel like, especially when you get to the college level, if that's happening in the South, there would be massive talk of it and issues.
Yeah, I do think
because
that
I don't think a player would take
at least out in public.
Yeah, but I'm not saying just coaches to players. I feel like that's a whole nother level. I'm just saying the word is thrown around.
I think that word gets thrown around, and other uncomfortable phrases, I think they get thrown around way more than anyone wants to admit.
Right. It's funny. I'm getting at.
I was having a conversation with, I was having a conversation with a professional, and she admitted to me that her boyfriend and his friends use the N-word and other things like that quite frequently. And I was, quite frankly, I was kind of stunned. I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, are you kidding me? And it was kind of explained away and just kind of, well, they don't really mean anything by it. And, you know, they're just kind of joking around. And I think there's a ton of people that do that. And that's exactly how they justify it as well. We're just playing around and it's just, yeah. It's well, just what locker room talk.
It was like the picture I sent you today. I mean, we talked about this in the video game conversation, you know, months ago, but you know, just how bad can it be on PlayStation Network or Xbox Live?
It's bad.
And I sent you the picture of three Call of Duty tags that had the N-word in them and Jews as the clan tag and like rape them or kill them. And it was just on the screen for you to see.
Yep.
And I'm sure they would explain it away to you. Oh, you know, we're just trolling. We're just joking. Yeah. Okay.
Now this
sure,
is
buddy.
Now this person's right, and they said I played college ball and I heard the N-word 50 times a practice from black players to other black players. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Again, this guy is saying he's saying that Dabo allowed another coach to call a player the N-word.
Yes.
Which I think is totally different.
I admit I heard that all the time. And I've told the story of the most uncomfortable I've ever been, and certainly am not proud of some of the people that were saying it, but we played Mississippi State one year when I was at BYU, and Mississippi State is an entire team. Like, we made a joke that their entire starting defense was black except for a free safety who was white, and our entire offense was white except for our starting tailback who was black. And I even made a joke that we should trade. I was like, yeah, let's make a trade. The amount of slurs that I heard thrown back and forth during that game, I've never been more uncomfortable in my entire life. And all I thought was, this is on ESPN, and oh my God, if this ends up getting picked up by some of the microphones, I'm like, this is going to be horrid. And we had multiple times where officials got together during TV timeouts and were threatening to kick people out of games, and how bad that got. That is the only time I've seen between black and white where I have seen that go back and forth like that. Every other time it was black players to black players, and yeah, that gets thrown out 1,000 times a day.
All right, we got to run. Tiger King news coming up on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6 o'clock and we still have a segment to burn.
Hey, look at us.
Oh.
Yeah, we went a little long there.
A lot going on.
Yeah, there is.
A lot happening in the world. There's your boy Cuomo.
Looking like $1 million up there.
Hundo P.
Yeah, that's a guy who has survived COVID.
Out there doing pull-ups and push-ups.
Hell yeah. All right, well, there's that segment.
I find him to be a bit much.
Well, maybe he finds you to be a bit much.
To be honest with you, I find both sides on the talking political heads to be a bit much, quite frankly.
I find you to be a bit much.
Well, thank you. I do what I can.
I don't find Mike to be a bit much, though.
No, Mike's
understated.
Mike's right in the meaty part of the bell curve.
Mike, you should try to be a bit much.
Just on there with his horrid video game titles. Who knows what he's doing on those chats? That was disturbing, though, that screenshot you sent.
I see that every day.
And those are just gamer tags out there again. This is my point.
First of all, the fact that Activision doesn't have that word banned as usable is insane to me.
But isn't it stunning, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter, or like you said, those gamer tags? That's just out there for everyone to see. It's like you're not hiding it.
Right.
It's not like behind closed doors. You're like, hey, this is what I'm putting out to the world. All right.
All right. Let's move on to the more important things. Like Tiger King.
Yes. Carol Baskins for all you cool cats and kittens.
There is a new owner of Joe Exotic's zoo.
I know. I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle it all. I mean, it's going to be tough, but somehow I'm going to find a way.
You're going to turn it into a raccoon zoo?
Yes. Why would you want to take care of tigers like that? Just sounds like an awful...
Well, they
awful,
make money off of them.
Do you really? Are you rolling in dough?
That's why he did it. Oh, I don't know about rolling in dough, but that's why he did it. People want to... You saw the documentary.
Yeah.
People want to hold a tiger cub.
I'm blown away by how cheap they are. You can buy a tiger cub, like a French bulldog.
Yeah, it's a couple $1,000.
I was looking at French bulldogs the other day. They're like $4,000 starting. And you can buy a tiger cub for $2,000? What the hell, man? What kind of world are we living in?
Let's kick off the club with that news next. On The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.